this week's episode of Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm your host, Adam Johnston, for Thursday, October 10th, 2024. In this week's episode, Thankful, we'll talk about the things that, despite the challenges and frustrations we face in Winnipeg with regarding active and public transportation, we have some things that we can be thankful for. Plus, we'll take a look at the news and events happening around Winnipeg. That is all this week on this episode of Not Necessarily the Automobile on 101.5 UMFM. And welcome again to this week's edition of Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5. Again, I'm your host, Adam Johnston. Glad that you've stuck around for this episode as we are heading into the Thanksgiving long weekend. And on behalf of myself here on Not Necessarily the Automobile, just want to wish everyone here in Canada a happy Thanksgiving, and to those in the United States, happy Indigenous Peoples Day, which is celebrated on the same day as Thanksgiving here in Canada, and often many people still refer to it as another day called Columbus Day, but here on the show I'll refer to it as Indigenous Peoples Day. So if you are celebrating Thanksgiving here in Canada or down in the States, Indigenous Peoples Day, want to wish you the best of either day and hope that you can, whether you want in Canada, relax and have dinner with your family or reflect in the States regarding, Indigenous Peoples down there. So again, whatever you're celebrating that day, hope you take care and get some well-deserved rest this upcoming long weekend in all of Canada and a good part of the U.S. as well. So, and as we head into Thanksgiving weekend, we head into this long weekend here in October with a lot to be concerned about here in the city of Winnipeg. High rate of pedestrians and cyclists being severely injured or killed this year has been a big concern. A severely underfunded transit system, an active transportation network that needs to be connected to more bigger automobiles, making it less safe on the roads. Yet, despite these challenges we face, believe it or not, we do have some things here in Winnipeg that we can be thankful for, and some good things. There has been some things that if you were to step back and you say to yourself, despite the five steps back, one step forward mentality of the city, there's been some baby steps progress. Many things. So in honor of Thanksgiving, here are some things that we can be thankful for. First thing we could be thankful for is, yes, more cycling infrastructure compared to 20 years ago in 2004. I guess one positive thing that we can all agree here with in Winnipeg is that there is more cycling infrastructure in 2024 compared to 2004. Now back in the early 2000s, it was hard to find at least the bare minimum of some cycling infrastructure. Yes, there's a few parks, the odd ones like Buns Creek and your local park, like for example on Henderson. But perhaps if you were lucky, your neighborhood streets, when no one is zooming around, would be a good place to go cycle, residential streets. Now, fast forward to today. There's more cycling infrastructure now, like I said, compared to 2004. For multi-use paths like the Transcona Trail, Northeast Pioneers Greenway, Owisisak Meskinau Greenway, to protected bike lanes in the West End along Balmoral, Osborne Village, along with painted bike lanes, including St. Matthews, the number of options for cyclists for such infrastructure has increased, giving us more options to commute. Now, these may not be the best options to a point, but there is some cycle infrastructure. There's more than 2004. So at least in that aspect, that's kind of a good thing, although there is lots of work to do to complete the active transportation network in our wonderful city of Winnipeg. Number two, we have an engaged cycling community. Yes, Winnipeg is blessed to have a committed cycling community that is engaged in what is happening, but also, for the most part, watches for one another. For the most part, I say. Not everything and everyone, but for the most part, when it comes time, like what happened this summer. From the bicycle festivals, known as Bike Jam, held every few weeks during the summertime, to monthly protest rides of critical mass, which challenged the dominance of automobile use within North American transportation system, to Bike Winnipeg, the advocacy organization that helps to promote cycling advocacy, to community bike shops like The Wrench, where people can learn how to fix their bikes, as well as sell refurbished bicycles to those who cannot afford bicycles. While each faction within the bicycle community may have differing views on certain things, within the active transportation space here in Winnipeg, at the end of the day, every part of every faction within our cycling community does have a critical role to play in moving forward and ensuring that active transportation excels in the city, as well as getting people engaged. And that in itself is very important if Winnipeg wants to become a sustainable city where people can live and enjoy their daily lives. People like Marco, the executive director of Bike Winnipeg, as well as many original board members of Bike Winnipeg back when it first started, like including Dave Elmore, who's still a key volunteer within Bike Winnipeg, and the work he does is very good, just like any other volunteer. So again, as well, those who are involved with Critical Mass, like Ariel, everyone, like I said, has a key part within the cycling community to advance active transportation forward. So again, thank you for everyone who is within all of the community here in Winnipeg with that. So, and number three, WinPass. That's right, WinPass. Now, if you listen to past episodes here of Not Necessarily Automobile on 101.5 UMFM, when it comes to Winnipeg's public transportation system, one of the biggest criticisms I have is our current bus fares. That's right, our current bus fares. Winnipeg's adult cash bus fare is currently $3.25 for a ride, and by 2026, it'll be $3.45. Our city will rank almost as high as Toronto when it comes to cash fares for adults. Now, as you all know, high bus fares deter people to potentially take public transit and look for other options. Yes, bicycle is nice. And unfortunately, they even consider throwing their money at buying a private automobile. Now, high bus fares won't help our city achieve our climate goals, especially when 50% of the city's carbon emissions come from transportation, while 80% prefer to take their cars as their main mode of transportation. Now, on top of this, high bus fares don't help with ridership, as I mentioned. But despite this, I guess one positive thing that the city has done in recent years was adopting a cost-affordable bus pass for low-income Winnipeggers called, drumroll please, the WinPass! That is right, the WinPass! Well, to be honest, according to the city of Winnipeg or the Winnipeg Transit website, quote, now this is from the Winnipeg Transit website, quote, the WinPass program provides individuals with low income the opportunity to receive a 50% discount off the full fare rate for monthly transit passes and e-cash rides, unquote. Quote, well, from the Winnipeg Transit website, eligible households can apply for a WinPass, unquote. Now, what is the eligibility, you ask? Pretty much, according to the Winnipeg Transit website again, This is directly from the website. They say, quote, if you are a Winnipeg resident age 64 and under, you may qualify for the Winnipeg or the WinPass program if you meet one of the following criteria. You are receiving employment and income assistance and do not qualify for the transportation allowance and the equivalent amount of a bus pass. You are a permanent resident or refugee who has been in Canada for less than a year and have not filed a tax return. You are part of a household with less, or I should say with income less than the low income cutoff amounts listed below. And that varies from one person, 30,526, to seven people, 80,785. And that is the criteria. It was launched in 2019. The program was successful to start off with. Very successful, I guess you can say, in terms of the stats that I found. Now, this is from Winnipeg Transit as well. With that information regarding that, the WinPass program, the initial intake was 834 people. Now, that's according to Winnipeg Transit. Now, if you were to look at other interesting things related to the WinPass, some interesting stats. As of April 2021, the discount for an adult monthly pass is from the information from Winnipeg Transit was increased from 30 to 40, and eventually the final discount was 50% in April 2022. Like I said, the initial take was 832 residents were approved for the WinPass program. Other key findings say that majority of the customers using WinPass says very easy, 40.3%, or very easy, 44.4%, to complete the application, with only 3 of 196 respondents in a survey they did found it hard or very hard. And that satisfaction was very high in terms of processing the applications, and as well, other interesting stats here. If you're asked, would you reapply for the WinPass program when your eligibility expires? Almost 90% said yes. And interestingly enough, did COVID reduce your need for the use of the WinPass program? Amazingly, 40.74% said none at all. So that is very good to know. So at the end of the day, I guess you could say that the WinPass program has been a success, and hopefully that this can inspire our current City Hall to actually do something on advocating for low-cost bus fares for adults. Now, like I said, the next step is to lower adult cash fares, or the bare minimum, have 18 and under have fares to be free. Whether that happens in my lifetime remains to be seen, but at least the WinPass does provide hope that we can move forward on something like this. The next positive thing that's happening within our city is that Indigenous people are making an impact within the cycling community, becoming active within the community. Now, one of the challenges within our active transportation community, the cycling community in general, is trying to get more diverse voices from all walks of life. Specifically, one area that is an ongoing concern or issue is how to get more Indigenous people involved. Now, despite Winnipeg having the highest Indigenous urban population across Canada, it has been a challenge to address this. And despite some problems with this, we're seeing at least some progress. I'll name specifically the Bike Winnipeg Board of Directors, where we now have 2 elected people of Indigenous background sitting on the board of Bike Winnipeg. That includes Leslie Parisen, who recently joined the board in April, and myself as well, who is now doing a second term on the board of Bike Winnipeg. Now, both of us bring unique perspectives that often lack within active transportation, advocacy, policy, and planning here in Winnipeg. Now, this is an important step to ensure that the Board of Bike Winnipeg has some good representation within the Indigenous community. And polls in the past suggesting that Indigenous people, specifically within core areas, city, are more likely to bus or bike to destinations. It's important to ensure that voices will be heard to ensure that Bike Winnipeg increases engagement with all Indigenous people. So we still have a long ways to go, but this is a start. So hopefully our voices will be heard and can make some difference over the next couple of years. Yes, next thing I'd like to mention here is we have a bike mayor. We actually have a bike mayor. No, it's not Scott Gillingham. It's Patty Weens. And yes, she's been our bike mayor since pretty much the summer. For those who do not know what a bike mayor is, their role is to advocate for cycling in a city. Now, according to the Bicycle Mayor Network, this includes, quote, understanding and work towards solving core challenges related to cycling, collaborate with residents, activists, government, and industry, promote the work of others in their cities. They also mention best practices and lessons learned, and collaborate on regional global efforts, unquote. Now, usually for a bike mayor, these roles have 2-year terms and they can be reappointed afterwards. So far, she's been all over the place, getting her brand out as her role of bike mayor. Weens has been key in coordinating the memorial of the ghost bike ride for Rob Jenner after what happened this summer, and she's also on the board of Bike Winnipeg and gives a lot of her time in advocacy for cycling in general here in Winnipeg. Now, having a bike mayor does help it try to advocate for better cycling here in the city. Any role that helps is always a positive, and anyone that takes on this role who has a busy plate probably has a lot to think about and has quite busy life. So hats off to Patty for doing this job. It's definitely not an easy job to do, and she's for the most part done very well. My hat's off to her, and you know, she's well loved by many people here in the city within the cycling community, so that is a bonus. So again, that's what you needed, a bike mayor, and regardless, she's our bike mayor and she's done what you're supposed to do as a bike mayor, advocate for cycling infrastructure and get involved in the community. And she was very instrumental in getting the things necessary for the ghost bike ride for Rob Jenner this summer. So hopefully we'll see more things from her. Be interesting to see what comes out, what she wants to do as bike mayor and advocating for cycling in the city. So that's one positive thing, is that we have a bike mayor now. Also, changing our Winnipeg transit system next year to be more functional. Now, next year in 2025, next year around the end of June, what you see with the current routes offered by Winnipeg Transit will be gone. Toast, finito, finato. On June 29th, 2025, we'll have a new transit system, transit network. It's called the Primary Transit Network. And it'll launch on June 29th, 2025, like I said, along with its feeder routes. And basically, what this will do is supposed to make our transit system more functional. Now, by what I've seen, it looks like it's got potential. I do believe that there'll be some early headaches with it, and be some confusion, but this is important. So I think this primary transit network coming out next year will be a critical piece in moving Winnipeg Transit forward. And you know, it's one step to improve, like I said, public transportation here in the city in a long list. And like I said, it's going to take a while to get used to. Yes, there'll be headaches, but hopefully we'll see the change, the positive change that we'll see in terms of the functionality of our transit system. So I applaud Winnipeg Transit for doing that. I'm looking forward to seeing what changes are done next year. So yeah. As well, we have an active urbanist community. Whether it's YIMBY groups like Dylan Martin's, Michelle Duran Wood's renowned blog, to public transportation group, Functional Transit Winnipeg, all play a role to ensure that these issues get discussed. Whether it's Dylan's group advocating for engagement in better housing, to Michelle Duran Wood's critiques of the current City of Winnipeg's spending frivolously on expansion of Kennesaw and Chepag West expansion, to people at Functional Transit Winnipeg offering critical analysis of the improvements needed for our current transit system. These are all key people within the urbanist community that do play a role. So again, hats off to them as well, and we should be thankful for their work and what they do. And lastly, on the thankful list, turns to me now. And I just am very thankful during this Thanksgiving long weekend, as we head into it, that I'm able to host a show like Not Necessarily Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. This has been such a great opportunity for me to host a show that needs to be happening in our city of Winnipeg on such key issues like public and active transportation. While there is another cycling show on another community radio station, this one focuses not only just on cycling, but public transportation, equity issues, culture, media related to both spaces. And that's what Not Necessarily the Automobile has been for since airing in June of 2023. Now, this is the 50th episode, and I'd figure, well, because it's Thanksgiving weekend, I'd happily title this Thankful. And like I said, since being on the air here on 101.5 UMFM, we've discussed and analyzed issues that normally do not get discussed within mainstream radio. And this includes how to improve bus fares, transportation equity, climate change, health, active transportation, racism within our transportation system, as well how to make it more equitable. I've had the opportunity to interview so many great guests, ranging locally from Mark Coho of Bike Winnipeg, Kurt Hall to, from Climate Change Connection, to those outside of the country. I've had opportunities to interview authors like Veronica O'Davis and her book that she published last year, which was Inclusive Transportation. I've had, during my time here on the show that I've hosted, now in its 50th episode, I've had a lot of great mentors who've guided me on key subjects. Well, I've interviewed them from ranging from Ian Walker, who's been key part of the active transportation community, to Dave Elmore, who created Bike Week. They've been good mentors to me. And those who I've not interviewed, including Paul Gackel, who had spent time in the States, for quite a while in California, and has come back to Winnipeg a few years ago, and has been key mentor on such issues like race and transportation and equity. So I want to thank Paul Gackel for a lot of inspired me for a lot of things. So as well as Ian Walker as well, and all within the active and public transportation communities here in Winnipeg. So again, as we head into this Thanksgiving weekend, we do have a lot to be thankful for. Now, not everything is perfect in Winnipeg. We still face many challenges. We still face systemic barriers when it comes to our public transportation system, like I mentioned, high bus fares, even within our cycling community, there's still challenges of getting more equity out there in terms of having more indigenous people involved or people of color involved. That's an ongoing issue that we still face and that we need to work better on. We still have an active transportation network that is still very piecemeal. We still have a highly car-centric dominant transportation system where 80% of Winnipeggers prefer taking a car as their main mode of transportation. However, I hope that this episode has shown everyone that there has been some gains made, although the progress has been small. I hope that the show has inspired you today to, well, move forward and keep fighting on, including myself. Even though there's some days I don't feel like fighting on, but I just do. And maybe that's what Thanksgiving's for. Even though it is a colonial holiday, if you look at the history of it, perhaps all of us can sit down and give thanks for what we have and then move forward for the change that we want to see, especially headed into 2026, which is just 2 years away. And if you know that, that is our next civic election. Yes, I know, maybe I've talked a lot today. And yes, maybe there's a lot of things I've covered of what we should be thankful for. But again, maybe we should just take it one day at a time. And with that attitude, we can take that one day at a time to start planning for what the city can look like. Who's representing us at City Hall? What our downtown will look like? And maybe we're already seeing glimpses of that with the plans of downtown, where many Indigenous organizations, including the MMF and the Southern Chiefs organization, are doing a lot of good work already in buying up real estate to hopefully revitalize downtown and become key players. And maybe that's what we need as part of the reconciliation movement here, is downtown revitalization with our key Indigenous partners so we can get that economic reconciliation. And perhaps with that, maybe make our streets safer at the same time by encouraging more public transportation as well as cycling downtown. Maybe that's all we need, is one step at a time. And that's this week's episode, not necessarily the automobile here at 101.5 UMFM. Again, I'm your host, Adam Johnston. I really want to thank you very much for listening to this episode this week. You can listen to our archives here at www.umfm.com. You can also email us at not necessarily the automobile at gmail.com. You can also check us out on our Twitter page at NNTAONUMFM. Again, I'm your host, Adam Johnston. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you same time next week. And please stay tuned for Democracy Now! Next on 101.5 UMFM.